Two of our passages this morning deal with reading and prayers and paying attention and understanding. So, as we begin, let's pray. Almighty God, you have given us your word. Word that was given to people from thousands of years back, right to today. You inspired those who wrote down your word, made them true, made them applicable, made them real, made them understandable. Today we ask that you give us your spirit of illumination and understanding, that same spirit you gave to those authors. And as I speak, make my words be your words. Not twisted, not changed, but your truth. As we all hear them, as I hear myself, as we all hear them, help us to understand. In our minds, understand. In our hearts, be changed. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Our Lord, our rock, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. Ezra. This passage comes from the book of Nehemiah, where Ezra is also talked about. There is a book called Ezra. They were contemporaries. Ezra was the priest. Nehemiah was the governor. Both of them were sent to Jerusalem from Babylon to rebuild the city. Remember, the city of Babylon was conquered 70 years before by the Babylonians. Well, after those years of exile, they were allowed to go back. And they're actually going to be helped by the king to rebuild it. And as they're building, they're having problems. Having problems because other peoples who had been there before, the Canaanites and such, didn't want Jerusalem to rebuild. And the people needed some support. They needed some encouragement. They needed a kick in the butt. There's a passage that says once they're working on the wall, they had a tool in one hand. What was in the other hand? A sword. They had a sword in one hand and a hammer or a shovel or a pick in the other one. You know how hard it would be to work that way? And we did a lot of shoveling yesterday, and I cannot imagine trying to shovel with a sword in this hand. And I could put a shovel into the ground that way, but you know, it'd be awful hard to do that, or lifting blocks of stones. Here, hold my sword for a second. Then you got two of them and no shovel. Really inefficient. But they're kind of disheartened because they're trying to build this wall again, and they're feeling kind of down, and they say to Ezra, "Hey, Ezra, go get the book." The book. He went outside the gates of the partially built wall. Because that's where the people were gathered. The whole assembly of Israel. The men, the women, the kids, probably the donkeys. The whole assembly of Israel. And he brought out the book of the law of Moses. Do you all know what that is? The book of the law of Moses? Sure, it's called the Pentateuch. Which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and the second most boring, maybe the most boring book in the Bible, Numbers. If you have trouble falling asleep at night, read Numbers. Because it goes something like this. And one son of Jacob was Simeon, and the clans of Simeon were John and Fred and Barbara and, you know, lists and lists. That's all it is. Really, I mean, this other stuff, it's just lists of people, it's boring. And the number of Simeon was 125,612. Then we go into Judah, it's boring. But that is where the law is, in Exodus and Deuteronomy. We call the law, really, the Ten Commandments. But for them, the entire Pentateuch is the law. That is the Torah also. I guess Jews like different names for stuff. Book of the Law, Moses, Pentateuch, Torah, they're all the same thing. So he pulls out this book and he started reading and he read it aloud to the people of Israel. All day, from daybreak to noon, as he faced the square. You just read for 3 minutes. You want to read from daybreak till noon? You want to go 4 hours without a break outside with thousands of people there? They go, you're going to have to read really loud for those people to hear you. But he was teaching, and the people listened to him. I didn't do that on purpose, but remember last Saturday we were at a conference, and not yesterday, week before, and this one guy was presenting, and he kept going up and down like this. And maybe he was doing his squats when he was preaching. He was great, but very energetic. But he preached. Actually, he didn't preach. He just read for 4 hours, daybreak. Probably 6 hours, actually, from daybreak to noon. And the people listened to the words of the law. And all the people did something very not Presbyterian, not Lutheran. They said, amen! You know, it's one of the words that is the same in every modern language. Pronounced a little bit differently sometime. When Andrew and I worked in a Korean church, it was pronounced amen, right? You know what it means? The word amen? Yep. King James says very, verily. Some translations say truly, truly. In reality, it more or less means let it be. Paul McCartney, you know, let it be, let it be. But it really means let it be. Let it be so. But they responded to the reading of the word. Doesn't say he preached, just that he read the word of the law. People listened, they paid attention, and they understood. Quite a ways down the road, Jesus walks into church, synagogue, in his hometown, so he'd been in that place a number of times. It's probably where he had his bar mitzvah at the age of 12 or 13. And all the guys in there were sitting down. And in this day and time, it would have been a whole group of men. And he stood up. Kind of like Quakers. If you've ever been to a Quaker meeting, anybody here ever been to a Quaker meeting? Okay, right now, this is a Quaker meeting. I got something to say. Which what happens? The men in the Quaker meeting, they all sit around until someone is moved to get up to speak. And then they speak and they sit down. So Jesus is in the synagogue, he's sitting down, and he stands up. When he stands up, the Torah keepers bring in the scroll of Isaiah. Why that particular scroll? I don't know. Maybe it was a lectionary scroll for a day. I don't know. But he goes and he opens it up, and he comes to this passage, and he opens it up, and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Yes, you just heard this. I'm going to repeat it. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll again, handed it to the scroll keeper, and he sat down. A couple of weeks ago, if you recollect, I talked about Jesus being in the temple. He was 12, sitting down with the elders. Because that was the civil authority. Not standing up was sitting down. So when the Jews did their reading, they stood up. And when they did their teaching, they sat down. For us today, we do both of them standing up. It doesn't really matter. But when he did this, everybody looked at him. Wow. You believe what he just said? This guy's amazing. They were shocked, not only by his demeanor, by his gracious words. He didn't say, well, I'm here to do that, and maybe I'm going to be good. No, he spoke well. They were amazed because they said the gracious words that came from his lips, they said, wait a minute. Isn't this Joe's boy, the carpenter? He wouldn't have had a high-rated education. He would have gone up like every other kid in the synagogue, learning his basic Hebrew, learning his basic Torah and theology, but he would not have a graduate education. He was just the son of Mary. And we all know what Mary was like, right? Getting pregnant without being married as a kid. And this guy come out of that? They listened to him. They paid attention to what he said. And unlike the Israelites listening to Ezra, who fell down on their faces, it also said that in Scripture, raised their hands and hallelujah, amen, they didn't like what they heard. They did not like Jesus saying, this is fulfilled in me. He tells a parable in the middle, too, about being a physician and healing your own self. They didn't like what they heard. And they got furious about it. How dare he? You know, my name's Larry, but it's actually Yeshua. I'm actually the second coming of Jesus. Did you know that? I've been hiding it real well. You know how many people I've healed? Of course not, because I tell them to keep quiet. And unlike when I was here the first time, they pay attention to me. And I was behind the whole Donald Trump getting reelected thing. It's because of me that he was able to beat that Harris woman. Because I'm Jesus, and I said he's going to win. Now, y'all know I'm being sarcastic as can be, right? Everyone like this, please. But if I was up here saying those exact same words and meaning them, y'all would either think I was nuts or you'd get really ticked off of me for claiming to be Jesus. So the people in the synagogue jumped on them. They mobbed them, they grabbed them, they dragged them out and took them to the edge of town, and they were going to throw them off a cliff. But somehow or other, he just walked through them. He could do it. He was Jesus. Now, y'all grab me and try to throw me off a cliff. Well, number one, you have a hard time finding a cliff around here. Maybe throw me off the bridge over there, but I'm not going to just turn around and walk through you. But I'm not Jesus. Now, have you ever been in a church service? Or any kind of a lecture or a talk or a debate where someone delivered a message just like this. Maybe it was even me. Somebody spoke and it made you angry. Everybody here should either be saying yes or going like this. I'm sure every one of you has been someplace like this. Maybe it was church. Maybe it was. Maybe you were watching the last presidential debate, and either Harris or Trump made you mad. Maybe they both made you mad at something they said. Because we've all heard stuff that has offended us. Right? You know what? You are ugly and your mother dresses you funny. Do you know that? Now, you know, if he was ugly and his mother dressed him funny, I wouldn't tell him that, unless he asked. Then I would tell him that, but I actually am kind of a nice guy. I wouldn't say that. I might say, well, you know, you really need to up your wardrobe, so let's at least go to Goodwill and find you some nice clothes, as opposed to the trash bins. And, you know, maybe we should get your hairstyle a little different. You know, let it grow out some so you join me looking like Einstein as opposed to, you know, some skinhead somewhere. And I'd be nice about it. Because I wouldn't want to offend them. If I offend you, you're going to know I'm offending you. And I'm going to do it on purpose. Because I'm trying to teach somebody something. If I offend you accidentally, because I say something, and cats are better than dogs. They are. And you hate cats, and you love dogs, so I'm offending you. And you come up and hit me up with that later. I'll say, well, sorry, that's my opinion. If you take offense at that, well, I did not mean to offend you. I'm going to apologize. We've all heard stuff that's offended us. I think the word of the decade, maybe the word of the century, should be some derivative offend, or offensive, or offended. We hear it so often. I'd wager quite a lot that it all stems from politics. Politics and politics. Every speech or debate gets offended. Has everybody here read the Constitution of the United States? I mean, really read it as opposed to, oh yeah, that's nice. There is really a great document, and I've read it multiple times. I've actually read it, and I've paid attention, and I've listened to it, what it says. Nowhere in that document is there a right to not be offended. Nowhere. Nowhere. So when I get offended, I don't stand on my rights. At all. Not a bit. When I get offended, I either ignore it or respond to it, whichever is more appropriate. A lot of people right now are offended at what happened in National Cathedral at Trump's prayer inaugural prayer service. Any offended at what happened there? Any of you have any idea what I'm what I'm talking about? When a bishop got up there and preached? Many people are offended because they're Trump supporters and didn't like what she said to Trump because they like Donald Trump. They feel like he was being verbally attacked in her homily. And he was. But that's not why they should be offended. One thing is, you never ever pick out an individual in a sermon. That's wrong. Like, I should never talk about Bob falling off the wagon, now he's stuck on heroin again. You know? You're such a slime bucket, Bob. You don't do that. You know? Or if you know that someone is having an affair, you don't preach on adultery and say, well, yeah, John, you shouldn't be doing that. Or, hey, Bill, you stopped beating your wife yet? Well, that's a real loaded question. So I say no. Ask me if I stopped beating my wife yet. If I say no, it means I'm still beating my wife. And if I say yes, that means I was beating my wife and then I stopped. I'm messed up either way, right? You never, ever pick out an individual sermon, and that's what she did. You make up examples. If she was nice about it, didn't call names like other people did and say, Donald Trump's a new Hitler. By the way, I am not making this statement in support of Donald Trump, okay? I'm also not tearing him down. I don't care. And she was actually imploring him to act biblically, which is good, which is okay. And that's kind of thinking, no harm, no foul, right? She's urging the... If she had said, the President of the United States should act with mercy, is that offensive? No. But when you say, you need to work with mercy, it implies, like you haven't been. The problem with her attack was her misuse of Scripture. Her forwarding of her own agenda. Because we should be merciful to the stranger in our midst. We need to care for the poor. We need to work and fight for racial equality. All those things she said, they were correct. Right? Or does anybody here, a Klan member, think she should go out and string up all the black folks? Hope not. We should be working for all that stuff. She was right about that. But then she starts talking about supporting sin and evil. She's talking about illegal aliens, not immigrants. If you want to come to this country, and see, I do pick on people in the Congress. If you want to come into this country of Mexico, what you do is you apply for it and you come in legally. You don't float across the river. Her support of the alphabet soup people. They keep adding letters to it. That's what I call them. The alphabet soup people. Okay? That is supporting sin and evil. I don't care if it's illegal or not. It's still wrong. She's misusing Scripture. And that's our problem today. And Bishop Marion Mudd, that's her name by the way, exemplifies this. It's not just her. A lot of people in the world. It's amazing. I have known so many people who realize the sinfulness, the evil of homosexuality. And then their grandson comes out of the closet. Immediately they're at 180. Changes. Because they put their own agenda into Scripture. It's called eisegesis. When you take your own viewpoint and put it into Scripture as opposed to exegesis, when you take Scripture and bring out of it by paying attention to what the text says and listening to what God says and then understanding it. Now, she very well may have listened to the Scriptures. She may have paid attention to what was written down there. But she didn't understand it. She misunderstood it. Probably purposefully. Put her agenda in. And that's a danger that we all face. Every one of us, especially you. Well, you wear glasses, so you're really in trouble. That's how I pick on people, you know. Especially bald old guys that wear glasses and have beards. When I started talking about the Bible and then shifted, you know, I read and then, you know, I'm preaching, hopefully faithfully, trying to be faithful. What did I do first? I prayed. And I asked God to give us the capacity to listen and to understand, and that anything I say today isn't my words. Of course they're my words. I'm saying them. I wrote them down last night. But that they come from God. Not directly. God doesn't say, write down, the bird is blue. That's not how it works. And God gives you an idea, and you write it down. So when you approach worship, when you approach Bible study, before scriptures are read, before you start preaching, before you start discussing, you two sit down, you're going to have a Bible discussion. You pray first. And you know what one of the things you pray for is that you don't offend her and you don't offend her. Or if you do, it's okay that you do that. Because something that you two can do, you can agree to disagree on some things. And even fundamental things that are wrong, you say there's more than one way to God than Jesus, and you say, Jesus is the only way. You can agree to stay in discussion. You can agree to still be friends. Even though you both know each other are wrong. You're right, by the way. She's wrong. There's only one way to Jesus. But if you both walk away from each other, guess what? You can't help her anymore. Just like I would love to see a whole row of alphabet soup people in here. Maybe y'all wouldn't. Maybe you'd be uncomfortable with that. You know why I'd like to see alphabet soup people in here? Because how else are they going to learn it's wrong? I'd like to see another row of adulterers, another row of drug addicts in here. Guess why? How else are they going to know what's wrong? And I'd like to see you three adopt those alphabet soup people. And you three adopt the drug addicts on the way. Because how else are they going to learn? When you function this way, when you come to Scripture in the power of the Spirit, as I talked about in Jesus, God will show you the truth. Both the little truths and the truth with a capital T, who is Jesus. Eventually receive enlightenment. Not the wacko, far eastern, enlightenment. Ann and I went to a show last night. It's called Shenyun. And it was all this classical Chinese dance they're trying to revive after it was wiped out and suppressed by the People's Republic of China, the Chinese, Chinese Communists. And an awful lot of it had this, well, it apparently is run by a religious cult called Falun Gong, which has been prohibited in China, but there was all this spiritual kind of stuff floating through it, and they had what they called fairies, but were the equivalent of angels that kept showing up, and they had a creator who, didn't you love this pose? In the very end of it, the creator shows up, white robe, and he's here. Is that right? Something very similar. He's just never moved, just stood there. Totally impassive. And the world came to him. He had this golden disc behind him, and the world came to him. It's a cult. Not that kind of enlightenment. The enlightenment you get in that. I knew you had one there somewhere. She has a plethora of books up here. In there. And how do you get that enlightenment? By listening to me, to her, to him, to her, to him. Talking to each other. By paying attention to what God says to you. And then by listening to each other again, which gives you understanding. And then one last thing after that, you got to act. Does you no good to listen, pay attention, understand, and just sit there. One of the reasons I think you're going to draw us off the side is that, I'm going to pick on you again. You're a great front row picker-runner. Danger with me is sitting in the front row, you get picked on. Ain't that right, Bob? I can sit down, and we give a Bible study, and I can teach you everything there is to know about the book of James. and I always use James for some reason, I can tell you where it was written, who wrote it, background, everything else. And if I don't tell you how to use it out here, what the sidebars are, how it applies to life, it's useless. Because you can't know anything with it. You have to act. So, God has a command for each and every one of us. I'm going to lay that command to you. We just listen to each other. Listen to me. Listen to the book of the law, which for us is all 66 pages, 66 books. Pay attention. Understand. And act. And if you offend somebody, like you two, and you're a wacko and you're right on, you offend somebody, so what? You're doing God's work, so what? Do it anyway. This is the gospel of our Lord.